Tonight we want to pose the question, is Allah of the Quran the same as the Almighty God of the Bible? And I've often looked at the Spanish people in America and wondering how we as Christians are doing and reaching them, and I've often been disappointed. It just seems like we could do more. Thank God there are ministries reaching out to them. And then living in Utah, of course, we ministered to Mormons. I definitely need to learn about Mormonism, and that was a deep study. But you know, you pretty well figure it out with time. We have the Islamic people coming to America, and there's many of them. Question might be like, how can we reach them for the Lord? And tonight, we'll not focus so much on reaching them, but looking at the distinctives, whether they might be considered a faith like our own. Because there are those who say they are. So let's bow and pray for God's leading. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us and always good. God is good all the time. As they often say, all the time, Lord, you're good. And we thank you, Lord, you're good to us. You're good to Fairhaven. And Lord, we pray you'll help us, Lord, to do a good job in reaching out to the Islamic people. Seems like a task, Lord, that kind of makes us rather want to shrink back. It's hard enough, we feel like, to reach our American neighbors who speak the same language and have the same culture. How in the world are we going to reach Muslim people? Well, it needs to matter to us. And help us, Lord, to care, to love, and to reach. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Comparing Allah, the Quran, with the Lord of the Bible. The Quran claims that Allah is also Yahweh, 29:46. So the God of the Muslims is the God of the Jews. Same God. Different beliefs about him. Pope Benedict the 16th claimed that the Muslims worship the same God as the Christians. So is he right? President Bush said of Muslim deity, well, first of all, I believe in an almighty God, and I believe that all the world, whether they be Muslim, Christian, or any other religion, prays to the same God. October 4th, 2007. So was President Bush correct? Or was this one of the greatest flaws of his presidency? Is he more of a president than a theologian? Now, what about Islam? And first of all, the name of God. Well, God revealed himself as Yahweh 4,000 years ago. That's before the teachings of Allah began, of course. And in Tetragrammaton, it's YHWH, which is unpronounceable. We don't know how to pronounce this. Jehovah's Witnesses claim they do. They say this is Jehovah. Well, how do you know that? It's not even a J in the Hebrew language. Or Yahweh, a transliteration. Well, we say we don't know how to pronounce this, which is absolutely true. So in order to distinctively say the Tetragrammaton versus Adonai, capital letters for YH. We don't know how to pronounce this, but listen, he is the Lord. He is the Almighty God. And so he is the Lord. Is this the same as Allah? Well, 4,000 years before the teachings of Allah, we have Yahweh. And the identity of the God of Muhammad claims to be from Aliyah, which is the moon god. So Allah is not just a title, but Allah is a personal name for God. And so it's not like just to say, well, they say Allah, we say God or Jehovah. The Spanish people say Dios, French say D-I-E-U, whatever that is. But now it's different. This is to say Allah is the personal name for God, and not just in another language. Exodus 6, 2 and 3. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, capital letters. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by the name, we say, Jehovah, was I not known unto them. Tetragrammaton. So can we assume that Judaism and Christianity and Islam all have the same God? Well, Islam claims that Abraham was not a Jew, but he was inclined towards Allah. And says here in the Quran, Abraham was not a Jew nor a Christian, but he was upright, a Muslim. And so they make that distinction. Is Allah a Trinity? Well, the Quran accuses Christians of blasphemy, that we are worshiping three different gods. And so here it is in the Quran, speak, as it were, lies against Allah. Say not three. Allah is only one God. Far be it from his glory that he should have a son. So that makes that distinction there. Pray for the curse of Allah on the liars. So curse those liars who believe differently. There's no God but Allah. And so that's the position of Islam. Of course, Mormonism claims the tritheism heresy that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are three different gods. Well, that's impossible. The Bible only says there's only one distinct God. It's three different persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is very, very clear. The only view, by the way, that's consistent with Scripture. But God, where we see one, speaking of God, we have one God, that's a composite unity word, where two or more come together to make one. Like you have one army, how many people? Not just one, many. That's what the word we have for God. You can speak of one family, if you're a father and mother and a child, that's three. You're one as a family, you're three as persons. That's the same word always in the Bible, composite unity word that we have for God. Well, Islam differs vastly, claiming that the Holy Spirit is the angel Gabriel. And so this separates altogether any possibility of Allah being the same God as the God of the Bible. And then Allah, what about a Messiah? Allah would never be known as the Messiah. So to think of God as a Messiah, to them, that implies modalism. That's Book of Mormon modalism, that God is the Father, and God is the Son, and they're the same person. That's unbiblical. But Jesus in Scripture is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and he is Almighty God. He's from eternity past, but not in Islam. And then the position about Christians and Jews, the Quran commands, O ye who believe, do not take the Jews and the Christians for friends. So have no Jewish or Christian friends. You see, they believe in this book, and Muslim people, the devil makes it really hard for them to understand about the Lord or to even get close to us. So it's hard. In fact, the Muslims are to fight and kill Jews. So if you have any, you know, dear Muslim person, it's not comfortable with, you know, bloodshed and that kind of thing, doesn't want to kill anybody, but to resist jihad to them in that religion, that's no option, any more than it would be for the Jewish people to resist the Ten Commandments. To deny the Ten Commandments. They're commanded. You have to believe this. And so the God of Islam promotes hatred of the Jews. The God of the Bible loves them as his chosen people. Also, you can make a distinction about, you know, what is the city of God? Is it Mecca or Medina? That's never mentioned in the Bible, that city. And the Messiah will descend upon Jerusalem and Mount of Olives, and you know, he comes to rule. Well, Jerusalem is neither the city of Allah, nor is Jerusalem ever mentioned in the Quran. So the question today might be, how can any Muslim then claim Jerusalem as the holy city of Islam? It has no history. As you look at prophecy, thousands of years before Jesus Christ came, we find prophecy in motion, and hundreds of years, you know, exacting prophecies about his coming, his crucifixion, raising from the dead, prophesied. Bible, you know, given history in advance, but the Quran never prophesies anything about Jesus or about Muhammad. It was only written after Muhammad came. It does have a prophecy that Muhammad would go to Mecca. You call that a self-fulfilling prophecy. All he had to do to make that prophecy come true was go to Mecca. And then there's different teachings about heaven. The paradise revealed by Allah, it has to do with the pleasure of eternal virgins. Here it says, they shall have therein pure mates. Then we have made them virgins, loving equals in age. Speaks about the freshness of youth. That's their plan for heaven. Jesus said, we'll never experience any kind of marriage like that in heaven, but there are pleasures forevermore. That's what the Bible talks about in the Psalms. But those pleasures will eclipse anything we've ever known as far as the pleasures of earth. They'll be so much greater and better. Also, there are distinctives about the love of God. You look at the status of women wherever the Bible has gone, you know, it raises the status of women. God's all for women. The Bible has elevated the status of women. Islam demotes women. They have a very hard life in Islam. Allah has no feeling, in fact, for anybody. And so it's blasphemy to reduce Allah to have any kind of feelings of man. We hear, you know, as far as the greatest commandment, let us love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. And we learn about the love of God, that God gave his son. But in the Quran, it never instructs anybody to love Allah. In fact, the God of the Bible has sent into this world his son to be a blessing. The God of Islam sends his people into the world in a jihad. That's the difference. Also, there's a difference in the holiness of God. Allah is portrayed as deceiving people about Jesus being crucified. 4:157. It was so made to appear unto them. They don't believe Jesus was ever crucified. And then there's a difference also in the wisdom of God. In the Quran, you know, they have this error about the boasting of the Jews to say, we killed the Messiah Jesus, the son of Mary, the apostle of Allah. That's in 4:147. And so this is to say, in the Quran, the Jews were boasting that they'd killed the Messiah and that he's Jesus. We all know the unbelieving Jews never believed Jesus is the Messiah. If they did believe Jesus was the Messiah, they wouldn't have crucified him. And so that's pretty obvious there. Also, the worship is different. In the Quran, it wrongly accuses Christians of worshiping Mary and Jesus as two gods apart from the true God. Let's see if I have. Yeah, Mary, let's see. Call him Miriam. Mother of two gods besides Allah. Mother for two gods besides Allah. Yeah, that's what it claims here. And then in 575, the son of Miriam is but an apostle. And so, not to say Jesus is God in any sense, but he's only apostle in that faith. So that's how they look at God. So you never worship Christ. He's only the son of Mary. He's only an apostle. That's all. And then as far as the relationship with God, Allah is too great to be known personally. So if you claim to really know Allah, you know, there's two different words for one. Jehovah's Witnesses get mixed up on this. John 17:3. This means eternal life. They're taking in knowledge of you. That's what their Bible says. No, this is eternal life, that we may know him. See, that's what the Bible says. This know him is, well, suppose you had twins. And one of those, the first day of his life, was adopted out somewhere and you never met him for all these years. The other one's raised in your home. So one day you meet somebody who knows your son or daughter who's been adopted out, and they say, listen, this is the color of the hair, and this is the tone of voice, and I spoke with this person. And so you're taking in knowledge. And of course, that's where the Watchtower's got Jehovah's Witnesses, over a barrel. You got to keep taking in knowledge. You got to keep coming to Kingdom Hall. Got to keep studying Watchtowers. You got to keep taking in knowledge to have this eternal life. So you're taking in knowledge about this child, but the other one has been raised in your home, eaten at your table, slept in your house, hugged you every day. You know him or her in a very personal, loving way. See, that's the difference. That's the difference. It's not taking in knowledge, it's knowing God in a very personal way. And so this is what, praise God, I mean, God does make himself knowable so that we can know him and love him and worship him in a very personal way. So, I lost my place. But let's see. Anyway, Allah's too great to be known. Never lower himself to any kind of friendship, fellowship. Poor Muslim people have no knowledge of that at all. But the God of the Bible is our friend. He reveals himself as a friend to us. Well, in the Quran, they would never allow God to be our father. Allah only reveals his will. He never reveals himself. And so Islam then sees the incarnation, the atonement, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as illogical, blasphemous. So we have to be very careful how we talk to them. For one thing, never make fun of Muhammad or the Quran in any way. That would offend them so deeply. We'd never have any success in winning them, only driving them away. But Allah would never take on the form of flesh. Allah would never die for another. So here's the consequences, you know, as the Muslims are led astray. They don't know God. They reject God becoming a man. They reject the possibility of salvation. And that is to lose your soul. And Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father. In the Bible, God can be known. James 4:8, we are told to draw near to God. Draw near to God because we can know him. And also, there's a difference in the only begotten Son. Allah has no children. In pre-Islam, where this came from, the idol gods, Allah has three daughters. I don't know how you pronounce those names, but he begat no son. And so it says here in 1988 and 89, and they say the beneficent God has taken a son. Certainly you have made an abominable assertion. And so they believe that that's an abomination, that's blasphemous to say that God ever had a son. It's a monstrous thing. That's the kind of thing that would forbid you from any possibility of going to heaven to believe that. So it's the, well, we have, you know, it draws us to the principle of non-contradiction. Jesus of the Bible or the Jesus of Islam, but how can he be Jehovah and Allah as the same God? It's a contradiction. And so we find here the God of the Bible commands us to share the truth. Here in this world, the false teachers, you know, they'll say there's no real difference. We worship the same God, but that's patently impossible because Islam opposes all of the elementary issues that has to do with the gospel. There's a religion today called Chrislam, which Christian pastors are joining with Islamic people to make a religion. You wonder, where have these men been all their lives? I mean, when they're preaching the Bible, did they just look at the Bible kind of like a fiction book that has no core or doctrinal truth? It doesn't matter what you believe. How could you possibly be driven off into this impossible situation and show your face in public and say, we believe we're one? So you have the God of Jehovah, who's not the God Allah. They're not the same God. The Bible commands us to preach the truth. Allah cannot be a biblical God because Allah denies the Father and the Son. In fact, 1 John chapter 2, 22, 23, to endorse Allah is to endorse the teachings of Antichrist. It's that serious. Well, 1 Peter chapter 2, 21, 22, Jesus Christ is sinless, but Muhammad is sinful. In 18:10, when the youths sought refuge in the cave, they said, O Lord, grant us mercy from thee. Provide for us a right course in our affair. So the God, Muhammad, is known to be sinful. And now there's over a billion people that are following this same teaching that they miss the real identity of the Savior. Really, you know, pains your heart for their situation. But the Bible warns about those who have another God, they have another spirit, they have another gospel, or they have a false prophet, someone like Muhammad, who's their messenger that leads them astray. The Quran claims that Allah brings light. The Bible says the devil is an angel of light. Also, the key thing about the cross, the Quran has no concept of God being involved with mankind at all. There's no Savior, there's no intercessor, and there's no saving grace. We understand God entered human history and brings us salvation. Allah, as a God, only deals with the world through his word and his prophets and his angels. That's all. Allah would not send anyone to die for you. Now the Quran, Jesus did not die on a cross. In the Quran, Jesus was just taken to heaven. As Judas had died on the cross. Judas was crucified in his place. So you see how hard it is for the Islamic people to understand. So there's no sacrifice for man. In fact, 431 here, if you shun the great sins, keep away from the great sins which you are forbidden, we will do away with the small sins and cause you to enter an honorable place of entering. It's kind of like Mormonism. You just do the best you can. God will take care of the rest. So in Islam, you stay away from the big sins and God will forgive you the little sins. So that's the way it goes. And so that's a problem for them also here. And also about a personal salvation, Muslims need to accept God's Son. Allah never promises joy. In fact, you know, if you're talking to the Mormons, you can say, I've had my sins forgiven. That's one thing they can never be assured of. I have the assurance of eternal life. They're progressing, I mean, they're working, and they're going to the temple and they're trying to be a temple Mormon and that kind of thing, trying to do the best they can. But they never know. They never know if they have the assurance of everlasting life in their religion. We do, hallelujah, and that's one of the things we can share with these people that, you know, as far as their testimony, I have the assurance of everlasting life. I've had my sins forgiven. That's got to sound good to their ears. But if you don't have that, then that puts these religions in the same camp as the atheists. They're in the same boat. They have the same problem. Or they're trying to work their way to God. And God offers, you know, his way for us to live. He offers us abundant life here. It's good. And he offers us eternal life in heaven. And so that's wonderful. Allah demonstrates really the hatred of its writer, of the Quran, the hatred of Muhammad as far as personal salvation. You can have personal salvation, really chances are great. through martyrdom and killing infidels. That will give you eternal life. Jesus Christ offers these dear Islamic people salvation because he alone paid the penalty for their sin. And he died on the cross for them. He doesn't command you go kill. He's the one that died. He died for you. And so what we want to do is, you know, win them to Christ and making friendships with them and talking to them about Quran, that kind of thing. And actually the Quran has many great truths in it. It's not an inspired book. Not even close. Not one page. But it's got truths in it about Jesus. And so to go to the Quran with a Muslim, to open up certain portions of the Quran and share about Jesus Christ, we can look into that sometime in the future. But you can see truth about Jesus, which builds their confidence in Jesus. Jesus, sinless. Muhammad, sinful. And things like this, revealing these eternal truths, builds their confidence in Jesus, builds their friendship with you, and then you move from the Quran over to the Bible. Yes, this is true in the Bible as well. And then you can take them to the next step. Oh, may God give us the opportunity to do that. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. And so the first thing any false religion wants to do, anything the devil wants to do, get rid of the deity of Christ, deify man, diminish God, distort scripture, and destroy hell. But also to be the enemies of the cross. And you see that with the Watchtower and Jehovah's Witnesses. They preach a torture stake. They have no idea. And the Mormons, you look at all their buildings, they have no cross. They have satanic pentagrams on their buildings. They have various things like this. Never a cross. The Community of Christ, or the RLDS, the old RLDS, which is now Community of Christ, they do, but they're still not Christian. So God turns our hearts from hatred to peace, and let's love them. Ephesians 2:16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And so people attack the cross, but let's love them. Philippians 3:18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Many enemies of the cross. Dear souls, have no idea. They've been taught through a religion. Maybe you will be the answer through friendship and loving them alone, and perhaps introducing them to certain CDs or individuals who can guide them along the way. How much are we willing to endure, actually, to win them to Christ? Many of them, if they start getting interested in Christianity, their lives are in danger. They might be killed. Are we willing to be killed with them? Are we willing to die with them for showing them the way? Hebrews 12:2. Personally, I think I'm nothing. God has the universe and heaven. I'm expendable. But whenever he wants to take me home, that's not a big deal. That's a wonderful thing. But looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus endured the hardship, endured the cross. So it brings us to this. Is the Quran correct? Is Allah, Jehovah, is that possible? Was this Pope right on when he said Muslims and Christians worship the same God? Or President Bush say whether Muslim, Christian, or any other religion, we pray to the same God. It's breathtakingly obvious. If you believe the Bible at all, that cannot be true. There's a way to God. It's through the cross. It's through the Messiah. It's through the triune God. It's through salvation by grace apart from works. And we trust him and he grants us eternal life by his grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you this evening that you can help us, Lord, to understand something that's just so complicated and just so strange and foreign to our ears and our culture and our history. And Lord, we hear many things that disturb us today and it seems to set people apart. And Father, it's hard. It's hard in this world to know. How can we reach out? But we are sent into this world with this mission. We want to love them as you love them. It always encourages our hearts, Lord, to hear how Islamic people are coming to Christ, or to hear that there are approximately 1 million in Iran. Iran, of all places, seems to have the greatest number per capita coming to Christ. 1 million brothers and sisters in the Lord. And what a hard life they have in that culture. Father, you've instructed us to pray for those who are in bonds and those who are persecuted and families of martyrs. God, there's a lot of bloodshed and a lot of pain in this world. We do pray. We do love them. We do care. We pray, Lord, your grace upon them. And Father, the greatest deliverance of all will be the day when there's that trumpet in the sky, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall be raised. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up after them. That will set the prisoners free. Those who've been freed from a penalty of their sin, but those who are in the bondage of very difficult living situations and oppression. So give them grace, Lord. And we pray we here in America do not lose our hearts for missions, even for the people in our city. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.